When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to do a speed run of why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen to all your favorites abroad when you're traveling. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, especially on that public Wi-Fi, airport, coffee shop, venue, hotel. You can also get the Nord Password Manager in case you're always forgetting your password. It's available on all your devices and operating systems, whether it be TV, phone, laptop, desktop, whatever. You can even put it on your router. They also have the file encryption tool to help protect that. 24/7 tech support, so in case you don't know how to use it, they'll help teach you how to use it. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. You can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe the game's blacked out, you want to get pay-per-views at other prices. NordVPN.com/Fightful has all of that, and there's always a great deal going on there, but here's the best deal. 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're gonna. NordVPN.com/Fightful. We love that NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It is February 17th, 2025. Your WWE Raw review after AEW Grand Slam. We had a great post-show for the Grand Slam show this weekend. Had a lot of stuff on Fightful Select. I'll tell you about the Fightful Select stuff later. Leave a thumbs up if you're watching this. Drop a fruit emoji in the chat. Let us know that you're there. If you're watching after the fact, leave us a comment. Let us know your favorite, least favorite thing about the show. I want to engage with you guys in the comments a lot more. I'm there every single morning after these shows, hanging out, talking with you guys. We try to be the most interactive show. Listen, we report a large portion of the wrestling news out there these days. So get your super chats, get your humper chats in. If you don't know what that is, here at youtube.com/Fightful, you can get in super chats. Or if you're one of the thousands of people watching on X, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, you can go to humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. We would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. If you do like the Q&A format, well, I'm doing that every single week over at FightfulSelect.com. In addition to breaking a bunch of news like Josh Alexander heading to AEW and all the details behind Ringgate from this past weekend, we're doing a lot of cool stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. Can't encourage you guys enough. $6 a month, $64 a year. Please support original creators. If you can, but if you can't, just drop us a comment here, drop us a thumbs up, review us on an audio platform. Lots of great ways that you guys can help us. But man, that NordVPN, listen, if you're strapped for cash, hit up NordVPN. I am this close to canceling my YouTube TV because I don't get A&E. So there's a couple of the WWE shows I can't watch, but I'll tell you what I can watch with NordVPN. I can change my virtual location, watch WWE LFG on YouTube now. I can watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, PLEs by changing my virtual location with NordVPN. But by God, here we are. We're going to talk about WWE Monday Night Raw. We're just a couple of weeks away from Elimination Chamber. I am going to make the trip to that show. Rhea Ripley had the week off. She is on her honeymoon with Buddy, and I want to say congratulations to them, by the way. But Jackie Redmond was also off. She was doing some coverage for a hockey game. Fightful Select reported Cody Rhodes was at the show, but just scheduled to do a dark match. To me, Cody is like, well, unless you've got like some sort of agreement with like the USA Network where they want him sort of exclusively for the most part, I'm like, find a way to get him on the show in some capacity. Like, find a way to have this top guy on your Netflix program, especially if Drew's gone over to SmackDown, if CM Punk is not going to be on this show, Roman Reigns isn't anywhere in sight. The Rock hasn't been anywhere in sight. There's no Rhea Ripley tonight. I'm like, damn, put Cody on the show, man. Like, what are we doing here? Alba Fire was on main event. So a lot of people that were asking about what her deal was going to be moving forward. She's doing some single stuff on main event. Let's talk about this show. Sami Zayn comes out, cuts a promo. He wants Kevin Owens. I really thought they would extend this to WrestleMania, but that isn't the case. Sami Zayn had cut this promo about his neck health and a lot of stuff like that over the past week, of which Karrion Kross parodied and made fun of. Man, Karrion Kross is getting himself over, and we'll talk about that later, but made light of Sami Zayn talking about his injury. Now, listen, is he banged up? Does he have an awful lot of lingering injuries over the years? Yes, of course, but it's played up largely for this story. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn will take on each other at Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I don't hate this as the idea. It's also like a few years ago with Sami. The question was, should he be the one to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? And it's funny because, like, I feel like now, looking back at that, if Sami Zayn was going to lose the match and Cody Rhodes is going to lose that title match as well, there was really no reason to not also have Sami Zayn do it at WrestleMania. Like, looking back, don't really have a problem with it as much. But them doing this match in Toronto makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, it's not often we get the big Canadian PLE. They're doing that, run this match there, and really capitalize on that audience. And I don't know how tickets are doing. I need to check out WrestleTix, but I know it's not going to be scaled like WrestleMania level, right? Like, it's not going to be anywhere near that. They're gonna do a very, very good crowd. As I look, 5 hours ago, they had distributed 27,500 tickets with 12 days left on the show. They have the current setup for like 31,000. It's been a few years since I've been to the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center. I prefer it as the Sky Dome, but it obviously it's not set up for that major WrestleMania level thing. But listen, 27,000, like, we're that's nothing to scoff at for the Elimination Chamber. Like, come on now. That's a really good number for the Elimination Chamber. It's just people look at it in relation to, well, it's a Sky Dome, and they act like it's not. But I think this will move some tickets as well. What I like about this is they got Adam Pearce involved. And a lot of people, they don't quite realize the scope of Adam Pearce's career outside of WWE. And, you know, this guy hasn't really wrestled in over a decade at this point. Like, 2014, he was wrapping up his career. But this guy went up and down the road with these guys. He faced Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, in one of his last matches. Like, he and Jimmy Rave teamed together and took on Sammy and Kevin under the different names and things like that. But, like, these guys were very familiar with each other, and I'm so glad they played off of this. I mean, 20 years ago, like last month, these two guys, Sami Zayn and Adam Pearce, were wrestling at an Elks Lodge in California. Like, they were incredibly familiar with one another, and to play off of that was really, really smart. And Adam Pearce being like, listen, I know what you two guys are capable of, and I can't sanction this. It can't even happen in this country. It can't even happen on American soil. I thought that this played very well. Thought that this worked out excellently. Kevin Owens was like supposed to be on the show, was advertised for it. AJ Styles defeated Dominic Mysterio. Man, Dominic has become, like, in the ring, a completely serviceable guy. Like, he's not going to go out there and have the quote unquote 5-star matches, but he's going to go out there and get you some heat. He's going to, create a foe for somebody like AJ Styles to topple. And then whenever his push does accelerate, people will buy into it, I think, for the right reasons. And I don't mean in the, oh my God, he's a credible champion, but a champion that can get heat. A person that can get that type of reaction that you aim for in pro wrestling. Like these days, the chicken shit heel, quote unquote, it's hard for a guy to go back and forth between being like, for example, Jon Moxley. When we see Jon Moxley be the guy that he has been for the last 13 years, I would say the last 12 years, because he kind of started off as a bit of a chicken shit as related to the Shield, but then he tries to run away from people now. I don't buy it. But with Dominic, he sells that really well. He plays his role almost to perfection. Carlito's involvement in this match was really great. He tried to get into the ring, and AJ kicked the ring ropes, and it hits Carlito in the balls as he's about to chew up the apple and spit it at AJ. So he spits it everywhere. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. AJ came in with some NASCAR guy that I do not know, but I understand he is very good. And I only know that, one, because of the commentary mentioning that. But the Tim from Pro Wrestling Unlimited is like the NASCAR fan that I follow on Twitter, and he posted about it on Twitter. So it's William Byron or William Bryan. There you go. What is the likelihood you see of AJ Styles re-signing with WWE? If he hasn't already, I would say there's a pretty solid possibility. I don't know what his motivations or priorities are right now. For example, if, say, his kid plays high school ball, well, if you're in WWE, you don't want to be working Fridays. You just tell him, keep me on Raw. If you're outside of WWE, there aren't a lot of shows that you don't decide on that run Fridays. Like if he went to AEW or something, they don't run a lot of Friday shows. So you're good there, right? You can decide whether or not you want to work indies at that level, which, you know, he's made an awful lot of money. Like he's been in the millions per year for quite some time. Orion Ben says this guy won the Daytona 500 yesterday. Hell yeah, good for him. I mean, the car looked dope. Got to say that. The car looked incredible. It just looked unbelievably good. But with AJ Styles and whether or not he re-signs, I know that there have at least been people in the convention scene, the merchandising scene, all that stuff. Definitely were inquiring about the possibility of him appearing, of him being available soon. Because by the time he got injured, it was a matter of months from what I understood. And, you know, now they cut a couple of his buddies. How does he feel about that? I don't know. It's very clear that that group is never going to be a thing within WWE. They've given it two tries. They haven't given it two tries, but they hired them all at the same time, two different times. Tell you what is going to be a thing, though. Bron Breakker and AJ Styles. Sign me up for that. Give me that all day. AJ Styles coming back, probably putting over a guy like Bron Breakker in a match that you got to do. Say, hypothetically speaking, AJ Styles does leave. Bron Breakker is one of the guys you want him to work with before he goes for a number of reasons. One, to put him over. Two, to have a great match. Three, to have a Intercontinental title match with some value, some cachet to it. A former world champion, an almost universally respected world champion in TNA, NWA, New Japan, and WWE, getting beaten by Bron Breakker, which is what I expect. And we got people arguing about NASCAR in the live chat, which I just love. I'll get to that in a moment, but Braun threw his shirt at AJ, and AJ effortlessly catches it. That was baller as hell. That was incredible. Drodacy says, how do you feel about an IC ladder match at Mania? Penta versus Braun versus Dunn versus AJ versus Kaiser versus Sheamus seems like a show stealer. Maybe. I feel like WWE's days of like getting everyone on the WrestleMania card is like done. I think that those days are long gone. I'm not going to say there's not going to be a ladder match. Maybe there will be. But like last year, night one had 7 matches. Night two really had 6, but it had 7 if you include Damian Priest cashing in on Drew McIntyre. They had like the Philadelphia Street Fight that had a lot of people in it. They did have the 6-pack ladder match that had, you know, so many people in it. Personally, I will say this. I wish they would do men's battle royal one night, women's battle royal another night. Like, why not do that at least? And make it be for something. Make it be for Intercontinental or U.S. title shot on each one of their choosing. That's just, if you do want to get everyone on the show, make it be for that. And I know a lot of people are like, well, it doesn't mean anything. No, it means exactly as much as you tell us it means. It means it's a scripted show. It is a completely scripted show. I couldn't tell you who won the Battle Royal last year or the year before. I'm going to look them up. Let's see. They've done one every year besides 2020. Bronson Reed. Okay. Well, that didn't kick off a big push for him. Not until months later. Bobby Lashley. Never did much of anything on Raw after that. Madcap Moss. Well, we know what happened to him. Jey Uso is probably the best winner in... Jey Uso might be the best winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal ever. And that was one that aired on SmackDown. That was the first one that they did on SmackDown instead of at the show. Matt Hardy, Mojo Rawley, Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was a cool one because I think it was his official call-up from NXT, so that was a good one to me. Big Show winning was good because it's Big Show. If he finally wins a Battle Royal, and then Cesaro winning was cool because he eliminated that. Somebody says Battle Royals don't belong in current WWE PLEs. If they're going to do a 2-3-hour kickoff show, they can absolutely put that on there. I'm fine with that. Otherwise, it can be on SmackDown and everybody will be all right because I don't see them always doing the, well, let's do a giant tag team match. I just don't see it. But I mean, listen, if they ran that ladder match, okay. But I think that Bron Breakker should be in his own match. Bron Breakker doesn't need to be in a ladder match. He should be in like a singles match. A-Town Down Under interview, Fightful Select reported that they would still be still be teaming after NXT. Good to see. I mean, hopefully they get added to this tag team division and do something because they really just chill right now. War Raiders did a vignette about the Creeds. And then we see the Creeds backstage with Ivy Nile. And Ivy, thankfully, went at the Creed. She's like, hey, yeah, it was very cool that you all beat up the War Raiders, but you didn't win. And we told Gable that when he came back, we would have titles. And I'm about to win a damn title. I'm about to get this title shot. Now, before we go to that, Julius Creed has been added to the Ultimate Fighter as one of Daniel Cormier's coaches, which I think is dope. Man, that's incredible. I talked to Julius Creed a couple of years ago, and he said that he loved the crossover. He just really wanted to embrace that and do some cool stuff as it related to MMA. With the possibility of him competing in MMA at one point. Now, I don't know how that had changed at this point, but at least as of then, he had considered it. I'll tell you what I liked and didn't like about this entire situation. I'm glad that they put Ivy Nile in a contender match with Dakota Kai. I could say, well, what did Ivy Nile do to get in that? But her eliminating Lyra Valkyria is enough of a reason for me for them to put her in this match. I buy that. I'm cool with that. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense now, necessarily. But if that was your means to put her into a top contender match was, well, she eliminated the IC champ in the Royal Rumble, I buy that. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. That's a sufficient reason. And if that becomes precedence moving forward, I'm okay with that. Dakota Kai almost won this championship. And she had this little promo backstage where she called Ivy a whippersnapper. I'm not sure. Like, a lot of people don't realize how long Dakota's been wrestling. Like, she Dakota has been wrestling for like 17 years now. Like, she's a 36-year-old woman. Not saying that's old or anything, but she's been wrestling for 17 years. And a lot of people don't realize that because she looks so youthful and exuberant. But, you know, Dakota has not won a singles match since losing that. Won a couple of tag matches. So I'm like, well, wait a second. Hold on now. Why is there this entanglement in these divisions where Dakota Kai has not won a singles match since losing the IC title finals, and she gets a top contendership match? Meanwhile, she and Io have won two tag team matches in the last few weeks, including over Judgment Day. But Judgment Day gets the women's tag team title match? And like, I get it. They beat Bianca and Naomi a few weeks ago. But I'm like, well, they just lost since then, though. Don't they fall down the pecking order at all? Like, y'all can't tell me this cinema. Y'all can't tell me this is smart booking. The Ivy thing? On board with. She eliminated the champ from the Rumble, put her in there. If Dakota had beat literally anybody, I'd be like, hell yeah, put her in a top contendership match. Like, why not? You could argue that Lyra suggested that. And I want to address this because here we go. I fucking knew this would happen. I fucking knew it would happen. Weren't you praising Harley Cameron winning one match to get a TBS title shot? Don't mean to sound tribal, just weird because the Dakota thing is similar. No, it's not. Why? What is the necessity to just make shit up? Where is the benefit of making shit up? There was a story. It played out on the screen. We watched it unfold. She badgered this woman for weeks. Mercedes said, "You haven't won. I'm not giving you a title shot." And she badgered and badgered and badgered and annoyed her way into a title shot. Why are you comparing these? Did you watch that? Why is it a, yeah, but all the time? And sorry, Steven, not trying to minimize you or pick on you or anything like that, but it's always some shit like that. You criticize one thing about a show and somebody's like, yeah, but what about WWE or AEW? Like, what? What? The EO thing. Like, listen, EO got a title match off of losing, but you don't hear me complaining about it because it made sense. Rhea looked at that situation and she's like, yo, I screwed you out of this title match or this title opportunity. So what I'm going to do is make good on it by giving you a title shot of your own. I'm cool with that. Bro, I grew up watching Buddy Landell wrestle Bret the Hitman Hart for the world title on a Saturday morning on WWF Mania. And the way that it was rationalized to me was, well, Buddy Landell was supposed to be out of the Royal or in the Royal Rumble, but he got pulled from it. So Bret's giving him a title shot. Cool. Give me a reason. Ivy, I understood. She eliminated the champion. She's been backstage talking that trash. Dakota's great. They can't move on from feuds in this company. Chelsea and Mia, they are the reason these titles are a thing right now. It's because this mid-card feud was such a success. Okay, now find another thing. Find the next thing. Like, you want to talk about Harley Cameron. If AEW doesn't have the next thing ready for Harley Cameron, boy, are they dropping the ball. Because it's very clear they got something successful and good there. They need to have the what's next there. Somebody says the reason is because Dakota is awesome. Got it. She is. I think she's wonderful. I think she's great. The audience gets behind her. Sure. David says, what's your take on having Lyra retain her championship against Dakota? I love both women, but I want Lyra's reign to look strong. I do think it's important to have a strong early reign. I'll say this. One thing I didn't mention last week, I love that the audience is getting behind Lyra's entrance with the woos and all that stuff. That's really cool. So they're at least getting into that. I want to give Lyra's title reign an opportunity. And I got people saying the women's mid-card will look better with call-ups. Says who? Says who? Maybe. Hopefully. I'm not going to hold my breath on it. When has the women's mid-card ever been strong? Because I got women on the roster that constantly will say, I wish they booked us better in the mid-card. Constantly. I've had main event level women say, wish they booked people outside of the title better. Have had people straight up say, I don't want to be in a token tag match. Steven, I sorry if it sounded like I was coming at you or anything. But here's what he said. Didn't mean it as an offense. It wasn't an offense. Absolutely not. Listen, sometimes I got to get a little colorful here. Says, personally, I feel Dakota is coming off of wins and came close to winning that title. So if that was the reason for putting her in this match, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Sure. And I mean, even if she says that, if like she says that offhand in a promo, like, or Lyra, like, I recommended you for that spot because you came so close to beating me. It's just that coupled with them beating Judgment Day last week, and now Judgment Day gets the title match instead of them. The order of operations here is All jumbled up. And listen, hey, you know what? If you're tired of being all jumbled up, I've got something that's going to help you focus. Something that's going to help you feel a lot better. Ketone IQ is high-performance energy, a clean shot of energy with no sugar or caffeine. However, they did just recently launch the Ketone IQ Plus Caffeine, which is 5 grams of ketones plus 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea, and it tastes great. I take it before a long shift at work. I took some before this podcast, and if you think I'm BSing you, I can show you all. But let me tell you guys, I've tried a lot of different things, supplements to focus. This really dials me in. I got ADHD. I've spoken about this openly. I've tried a lot of different supplements and stuff like that. This stuff locks me in. It's got me feeling great. They've got a lot of research behind this. They've got the Visma Lisa bike team partnership that they've been doing. It's vetted by Olympians, doctors, nutrition experts, all that good stuff. A lot of professional Olympic athletes that they work with, like Michael Andrews, Sam Laidlow, who's an Ironman world champion, all speak so highly of Ketone IQ. And right now you can save 30% off your first subscription order and receive a free 6-pack of Ketone IQ at ketone.com/Fightful. That's KETONE.com/Fightful. Save 30% off your first subscription order. Receive a free 6-pack of Ketone IQ with ketone.com/Fightful. This stuff is founded by ex-Stanford engineers, so they know what is going on. Phenomenal stuff. Look, I even got their little sweatshirt on that I got. Look at that logo. Ain't that a beauty? Ain't that a beauty? Big fan of this stuff. I wasn't sure exactly what it was all about, and a friend of mine recommended it. It was after I actually spoke about having ADHD, and they're like, hey, this is what I check. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. Out. This is what I tried out, and I did it, and I was like, man, this is fantastic. Matthew Hamm says, is the plan to do AJ versus Braun at Mania? Listen, unless I have reported the... Damn, I just hit my knee on my table. Unless I've reported WrestleMania plans, I don't have the WrestleMania plans. 2+ months, I would imagine they probably do this before then. That seems like a Raw match. My dude DNC Digital says, hey, Sean, been a rough few years. Things have been going well since July. New apartment, 2 promotions later. After watching years of post shows, I subscribed to Fightful Select. Appreciate the combos and support. Guys, Fightful Select is the best $6 a month, $64 a year in the business. I'll give you guys a little rundown here. Every single day, at least 2 exclusive news pieces dropping on Fightful Select. It goes straight to your phone or your email, not to some random's Facebook page, etc. There is not one aggregator, not one YouTuber, not one of those that has aggregated our stories that I haven't had to correct. You guys can ask questions on those stories, and I'll get back to you. Or you can access our Discord, which is exclusive to Fightful Select subscribers, on, let's see, gosh, what is it? Mondays, Fridays, we've got Sour Graps Raw Reviews that go on pretty late. It's a Fightful late night over there. Every week, I've got a Q&A show, but I'm always answering your questions over in the Discord. I've got the select answers features that go up like 4 or 5 times a week now where I'm, again, answering your guys' questions. I make it as interactive as possible. Every single week, I am answering hundreds of questions over there, and it's just $6 a month or $64 a year. And DNC Digital, I want to say thank you for subscribing and sending that very generous super chat. Steven says, any word on Goldberg having his final match at Mania or any other PLE this year? If I were them, I would do it at an event of its own. I don't know where, Atlanta. I'd do it in Atlanta. That's where I would. I would put Cody on the show. I would put Goldberg on the show in his retirement match. I know that there were a whole lot of people that looked at the way that Sting went out, and they were like, okay, that's the kind of send-off I want. Now, I don't know if they will get that kind of send-off, but I think that Goldberg, whether you love him or hate him, has contributed enough to the wrestling landscape, the popularity, and the history of pro wrestling to get that appropriate send-off and that he feels like he deserves. And the fact that we got, you know, 6-7 bonus years of Goldberg is not something I was expecting. I thought that man was absolutely done, absolutely cooked, never coming back again. I mean, what kind of gap was it that we saw there? It was 12 years, 12 plus years he didn't have a match. And then all of a sudden he comes back for 6 more years or 5 more years, whatever it was. Rock hard, Joel Woods says. Do you expect Aleister Black or Rusev to end up back in WWE? If so, when do you expect them? I think Raw after Mania would be great for them. I think that would be very cool. Or at Mania would be kind of cool. I would imagine Aleister Black probably goes to SmackDown where Zelina is, his wife. Because why wouldn't they? Assuming he does go back. I just want to say, I have not heard the surefire, they're going back thing that a couple other reporters have heard. I haven't heard that. I know Rusev ain't going back before next weekend because he's headed over to Qatar Pro Wrestling. But I think that after Mania seems good. You can nail down the deal and all that stuff. You got Gunther cutting his promo. I love this. He's up in the concourse mocking Jay. You got Pat McAfee sort of getting in his face. Somebody mentioned Judgment Day as a Judgment Day member. Well, if Judgment Day, if they're adding a new member, I think Malachi would fit very well, but it's on Raw, so. But Pat McAfee gets involved, and Gunther's about to whoop that ass, and Jey Uso comes out. This was good, effective stuff. Now, we're talking about 2+ months. I want to know how they carry this on. Because we've got 8 Monday Night Raws until then. This is a fire segment. Like, crowd was all about it. They love Jey Uso, man. I still think it was a right decision with Jey Uso. Definitely think that you look at this, you hear the crowd reaction, you see the way that he is, that Gunther is able to play off of him. And I don't know how it could be anything but like construed as, well, this adds an awful lot to that. And the crowd's loving him. However, I have concerns about what it is they're going to do for the next 8 Monday Night Raws. I believe it's 8. Let me look. It's 8. Oh, no, I think it's 9. Damn. Like, will they do a thing where maybe they're just both not on the show 1 week, or maybe they have Gunther attack Jey Uso, and will Jey Uso be able to compete at WrestleMania? And then Jey comes back, and of course he can. Of course he can. Will they do a contract signing? It's a lot longer to go through. You got like 3 or 4 extra Raws to get through because they're doing this later in the year, which they did do the Royal Rumble a little bit later as well, but I just wonder how they're going to continue that. Penta defeated Pete Dunne. So with New Day, I'm going to kind of consolidate these. New Day come out and get incredible amounts of heat. Incredible amounts of heat. LWO interrupt. Dragon Lee getting some mic time. Good. Give these people that English is not their first language, give them some more mic time. Get them more comfortable. Let the crowd get behind them. Let them build a rapport. I like the Io Sky vignette as well. She's speaking English, but they've got the subtitles there. I love that as well. But they attack New Day. LWO does. Somebody says the camera's blurry. Yeah, it's weird because got one of the highest quality cameras on the market, and it still does that. But LWO come out and attack, and it's like 3-on-2 for the love of Rey Mysterio, right? For the love of Rey Mysterio. And also, Dragon Lee's English was very good. Io Sky's was too. Tell you what, hell of a lot better than my Spanish or my Japanese, of which is non-existent. But New Day taking out Rey Mysterio. And I'm like, okay. So, New Day with Rey Mysterio clearly gonna come back and come after them. Like, do they do the very obvious thing and have Rey Mysterio team with Penta? Because that was clearly the direction, like, what, 2 months ago when Rey Mysterio said, oh, me and somebody else are coming for you. And then they switched and did something else with Penta. And they had him in this feud that we're talking about with Pete Dunne, with Ludwig Kaiser, all that stuff. Penta noted as a former TNA champ, by the way. The Pete Dunne-Kaiser alliance appears to be over after this very high-paced match, but I feel like these are all going to weave into one another, and we end up seeing something like New Day versus Rey Mysterio and Penta at WrestleMania. I know there will be some people that say, oh, that shouldn't be on Mania. I would be cool with it. I'd be completely cool with that being on Mania. Or if you wanted to add like a celebrity to each side, I think that would be kind of cool too. What celebrities would you add? Bad Bunny's the dream, right? Like, Bad Bunny is one that everybody wants to add, and because of his connections to the LWO, of course. But you could possibly add Logan Paul to New Day's side, I guess. No Logan Paul on this show. Since he already qualified, no need to. New Day and Kaiser versus Rey, Penta, and Lee. I'm not keen on that one. Kaiser trying to fit in with New Day would be funny. I know a lot of people are going to say George Kittle. He got in trouble with his team for doing the spot that he did. Penta wins. By the way, the Pete Dunne match is really good. Really good. The Io Sky vignette. The only little thing that about this, instead of having, it's specific to women. In both companies, in AEW and WWE, they'll be like, I am going to reach the top of this division, or I am going to dominate this division. Division seems like a type of thing that like an old head would be like, don't say that because it makes it seem lesser than. Just say you're going to the top of WWE. Nobody's going to assume you mean you're going to whoop Roman Reigns' ass if you're Io Sky, right? Like, just say, I'm going to the top of the WWE, not the division, which, I mean, I know it was scripted for her, but just say, I'm going to take down everybody in WWE. We don't think you're going to beat up Jacob Fatu. Like, we understand. Your audience knows. Karrion Kross promo says that Sami Zayn still had time to turn things around. So, my good friend Lovely Laveau posted something very interesting, and she has been a Karrion Kross truther for quite a while. One of the few ones that has been on that boat as long as I have. And she so eloquently pointed out that when Karrion Kross came back to WWE, he put that hourglass, or maybe it was Scarlet, in front of the bloodline. And what happened to the bloodline after that? They disintegrated. Karrion Kross is such a personable, charismatic guy. I think the moment he is able to show that he can work a modern, fast-paced style in a blow-off match with some heat, it's going to all come together. It's going to all work out, and people are going to view him in a much different way because he is getting over purely on his social media, purely on all that. But you look back at the matches with Xavier Woods, with Kofi Kingston, even with Lashley over the past year, they're not good matches. They're not good matches. The triple threat with Jey Uso and Kofi wasn't good. But you go back, you see the ones with AJ Styles, with Nakamura, with Finn Balor. Like, I enjoy those matches. The one with Drew, I enjoyed that match. Outside of, I mean, even in NXT, Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor. He had a couple good ones with Finn Balor. The Bloodsport match against Davey Boy Smith Jr. is one of my favorite Bloodsport matches ever. I want to see him work like this advanced pace, modern day style. That's what I want to see. It says, I get so irritated by the cross hate on social media. It feels so forced. It is. Like, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like the matches over the last year have been outstanding, but like, I want to see him in one with some real emotion attached to them. So it might be Sammy Cross at Mania. I'd be okay with that. I think Sammy and him would have a good match. And I think it would go a long way in repairing how a lot of people view Karrion Kross and a lot of the preconceived notions there. I think that would go a long way. I definitely think that would be the person to bring that out. Zeno Hour says a Cross Dragunov feud could benefit both. That I also agree with. Roxanne Perez defeated Raquel Rodriguez as Bianca and Naomi stopped Liv's interference. This is because Bianca and Naomi are at least pretending that they actually believe that Liv and Raquel attacked Jade. This apparently gets Liv and Raquel a title match, which them beating the tag champs should have been enough to get them one, but they've lost since then in a match that made no sense. You did not need Damage Control beating them. But Roxanne defeating Raquel, that's good. Now, Fightful had reported, FightfulSelect.com had reported that Roxanne was headed to the main roster. That had been the plan for quite a while. They felt like she had been ready for quite a while. There were many people that felt like she was ready when she came to WWE, but she had a fantastic NXT run. She showed a lot of range. There were so many people that thought that Roxanne may never be a heel, and she showed that she could be a heel. She's going to carry over the Bayley stuff, I'm sure, as Bayley wasn't on Raw. Bayley went from California to Washington, D.C., back to California. I don't know where Raw was tonight, but I think they mercifully just didn't have her come to the show tonight. Because, like, could you imagine? That'd just be too much. I will say this. This era does give talent a lot more time off. A lot more time off. A thing I want to say about this match. Bayley was there. Oh, my God. It was in Charlotte. So did they have her? Did she go back? Was she at the All-Star game last night as well? Yeah, I feel like there was an interview, and I don't know when it was filmed. Oh, my God. If they really had her go back and forth across the country like that. Oh, for a Vic Joseph interview. Oh, my God, she was there? So I thought I saw something last night where she was back at the All-Star game on her story, or maybe she just posted it from Friday. Don't know. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. I don't spend enough time on the I don't spend enough time on people's Instagram stories. She said she had seven flights this week. That's my nightmare. I had seven flights from April until January. Jesus, Howard Christ. No way. So I had some real concerns upon Raquel returning, what her in-ring would look like on like a long-term level, as we see our good friend Ibu in the chat. Great to see Ibu. Ibu, of whom people are still trying to get me to punish. I had somebody say, "You're really going to let Ibu just tweet this?" And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean do? I'm not his dad. I can't ground him. What am I supposed to do here?" But with Raquel, her coming back, I was like, what does this mean from an in-ring perspective? Because they had her come back at Elimination Chamber last year, and then unfortunately, it did not go well. And she had to spend a lot more time, another like 8 months out. So she missed effectively a full year. Then when she came back, like, the matches, even the matches where she was teaming with Liv were not good. And then the Rhea match was bad. Like, they were not good. Then the last 2 weeks happened. And I'm like, okay, that's the Raquel Rodriguez that I know. That's the one that I've seen. The match last week with Dakota and Io was really good. I thought the one tonight worked out really, really well. This is the Raquel that I remember. And I mean, gosh, I haven't seen her have back-to-back matches this good since probably like she was facing Raquel and Ember Moon on NXT back-to-back. Like, this was a great back-to-back week performance. And she's like, I mean, listen, man, she missed a year and barely had any singles time along the way. So I thought this was very, very promising. Very promising. It says Bailey's latest IG post lists the things that she did this week. That's crazy. Luis, can you get me a screenshot of that and drop it in my DMs? Because like I was thinking about that. She had the Celebrity All-Star Game Friday. That was in California. She had to go all the way across the country to DC for Saturday's show. Sunday, I could have sworn I saw a thing where she was back in California for the All-Star Game, I think, on Sunday. And then back across the country in Charlotte. I simply would have not attended the All-Star Game. But also, that's easy for me to say. If the All-Star Game was in Lexington, Kentucky, where I'm from, probably would have went to the All-Star Game. So again, very easy for me to say when, you know, the All-Star Game ain't ever going to be appearing here. That is insane, man. What a legend. What a goddamn legend. Bianca and Naomi interview later in the show. I loved the ode to Bring It On that they had with their gear or outfits. I don't know if it was gear or just outfits, but it was to honor the Clovers from Bring It On, and they worked in a Bring It On reference as well. Yeah, it says 7 flights, 3 matches, 2 NBA games. Man, incredible amount of respect for that woman. Also, check out our new short here on youtube.com/Fightful, where she answered who should be the lowest rated person on WWE 2K. I talked to Tiffany, Natalia, Chelsea, and Bailey about that. If you haven't checked out our shorts tab, you guys are missing out. We got like awards acceptance speeches. We have a lot of interview stuff, event footage. We've been putting in a lot of work on those shorts tabs over there. And check out our new info docs. We've got 2 of them that have dropped. We got a third one coming. We have the New Japan Exodus of 2016 to WWE. We have the History of WWE Tribute to the Troops. And then we've got one about the TNA WWE Monday Night War. We have Demon Diva saying Bailey is the best. This is Demon Diva, who ran away from the grind and didn't stream tonight. It's wild. She cut off all the power in her own city in order to avoid streaming WWE Raw. You hate to see it. You really hate to see just no dedication out of kids today. Seth Rollins defeated Finn Balor in an elimination qualifier, elimination chamber qualifier, rather. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch here, my friends. And I would love to hear from you guys. I want to hear what you guys want to know about this week. Want to know what stories you all want me to check into. But this was a hell of a match. The Fireflies were out tonight. Don't know why that happened. I saw a lot of people say, oh, well, it's because 2 years ago it was Bray's last appearance and it was in Charlotte. I don't know. I don't have no idea about that. But it looked cool because, like, there's a lot of things that people, like, I'd love to hear in the chat, whether it be a super chat or regular chat. What are some things about wrestling from years ago that you miss that probably will never come back? Because flash bulbs are one of the things that I love that are probably never coming back. Now, an LED light on a telephone, a lot different, but it looked really cool in the background. Like, they could do that and wave it for Seth Rollins. It'd be pretty cool, but it was a very unique visual. Like, it was really special looking. Gone are the days of flash bulbs. We ain't never getting that back. Somebody says, I missed the lighters. I'll tell you a thing that I missed once they started to do the Fireflies for Bray Wyatt. I missed everybody clapping to the music because that was really cool as well. There was a spot in this match. Finn Balor kicked out late, and it was on the ref to count that as a three, and he didn't do it. That being said, I believe this ref, if it was Rod Zapata, he got fined like 6 years ago. FightfulSelect.com report. He got pulled aside by Vince McMahon, who fined him for the main event finish of Becky, Charlotte, and Rhea. And referees back then were instructed to call the match as a shoot. So Zapata shouldn't have started his count until Rousey's shoulders were flush with the mat. However, tonight, Finn Balor simply didn't kick out, so he could have counted the 1, 2, 3, and that match would have been over. Seth did a good job of kind of playing it off, and that clearly wasn't supposed to be the end of the match. And the sequence they went in to finish the match was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, it went into the coup de grace, Seth Rollins rolling him over for the pin, Balor kicking out, going into the crossface. Seth Rollins rolls backwards out of that, hits the stomp, gets the win. Ooh, that was a filthy finish. Really good finish. By the way, also, wasn't even the sickest stomp of the night, because Dakota Kai, it's a spiked Ivy Nile to the point, go back and watch the ref there. So the refs do a thing where they'll grab the hand of the wrestler, and the wrestler will like squeeze it if they're all right or need it, whatever it might be, whatever signal you're supposed to give. But ref is holding Ivy Nile's hand like they're about to skip through the meadows, bro. Like, ref was like, are you sure you're okay, Ivy? But finish was fantastic in this match. The ref really got it. Ref really, really got it. And listen, in that situation, refs are in an impossible position because they count the three. They're probably going to get yelled at by the talent. And I don't want to assume here, but they're probably going to get, you know, frustrated talent. And if they don't, you got 15,000 people that are going to chant at you, ref, you suck, or chant 1, 2, 3 at you. But great finishing sequence here. Finn Balor's new music is growing on me. For Raw, listen, for him being at the Rumble, not good. For him being on Raw, it's good. Cena or Punk winning Chamber? I'm going to say Cena, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was just completely out of left field. I am not sold on the possibility of, or I'm not sold on the fact that like everything's set. Like, listen, we had reported a while back the plan was Punk and Reigns. We had reported a while back the plan was Cena and Cody. That stuff changes. I know that that's like the meme, plans change, all that. It does change, guys. Don't know what to tell you. Does change. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, do you think all the teasing means that WWE is letting Ricky Starks keep his name? Yeah, here's what's going to happen. My prediction. Tomorrow, they'll be like, and it's Ricky Starks. And you'll see a bunch of reactions be like, oh, my God. Oh, shit. And then they'll, like it's a thing. WWE has mastered getting people to react to nothing. And that's not me burying, like, reaction streamers. Love all the reaction streamers. Like, listen, let them do their thing, make their money. But, like, that's what's going to happen. Oh, shit, he's keeping his name. Whoa! And then people on Twitter are going to be like, OMG, he's Ricky Starks. And, okay, he's Ricky Starks. He's got the same goddamn name he's had forever. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Again, cruise around on YouTube.com/Fightful. Interviews with Cope, Kyle Fletcher, Tony Storm, Tony Khan, Buddy Matthews over the last week. I appreciate you guys. Thank you to our sponsors, NordVPN and Ketone IQ. I also want to thank our great moderator, Luis. He helps out a lot while I'm doing these solo shows. I probably need to nail down a team to do Elimination Chamber because I'll be in Toronto for that show. So hopefully I see some of you guys. I don't know where they'll put us or where I'll be for Elimination Chamber. But yeah, hoping that I see some of you guys. Toronto is one of my favorite cities on the planet. Just a beautiful, lovely place. But hold on. We got it. Well, I thought we had a super or a humper chat. We didn't. But guys, until next time, we're out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.